Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN republicbroadcasting.org. It is the tossed salad of free speech. You hear it? You toss in stuff. You just look in your refrigerator and you toss in stuff. But go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. Today I'm going to broadcast most of a Dr. Duke show that we recorded a couple of days ago. We did a back-to-back recording on Sunday, partly interrupted by the news of another assassination attempt against Donald Trump. There was some really good stuff here, and the first 10 minutes for sure. I was thinking of trying to just edit out the best nuggets and condense everything into one show, but that's just too much work. It's too difficult, and I've already spent a lot of time trying to do that, and I've given it up. So anyway, listen to this without any further ado.
I'm just going to start off, I guess, with a point, and we have a lot of points, and so many things we can go in, and as we talk, we're both going to be able to come up with a lot of points that's going to show the lies, really, and the inaccuracies and the failure of not only mainstream media, but the alternative to mainstream media, the alternate media, what we might hear on Rumble, what we might hear on YouTube to a censored element of YouTube where people are self-censoring. So we're going to try to do a listing of the mistakes of the alternative media when it comes to the endless wars, the causes of these wars, and the causes of the true deep state, the source of the true deep state, who really, in effect, rule America. They don't control everything. They don't control everything that happens. But there's never been, I don't think, in any country of the world, historically, practically, I mean, sometimes you can have dictatorships and you can have tyrannies that rule a country, but never has there been the ability for a tiny group of people, a tiny element, a certain elite, to control even the minds of the people and control the most powerful governments the world's ever seen. Even tyrannical governments didn't have it near the power over the individual lives and actions of the people. So let's talk about that. And I'll start off with the first subject I'll bring up is the alternative media, how it misses the first and foremost truth, the understanding of who their deep state really is. And they don't tend, the alternative media as well as media, they talk about an elite. They talk about organizations like neocons. They talk about our neoconservatives. But they don't really talk about the driving force behind these institutions, behind these think tanks, behind these powerful elite, which dominate the media. Now, the first and foremost problem I see is not understanding and not mentioning the real power behind the deep state. Now, Jeffrey Sachs, in a recent program I saw on Judge Neopolitano, talked about how the neocons are this deep state neocons go on no matter who the administration is, liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican. He was talking a lot about also people like Victoria Nuland and other neoconservatives. In fact, neoconservatism was created by Jews. It was a Jewish movement. And Jews even talk about neoconservatism as a Jewish movement. And the irony of the whole conservative movement being controlled by these Jewish neocons is that they're all former, and I put that in quotes, former communists. They were Trotskyite, very dedicated. And when you read some of the articles about these Jewish neocons, they talk about their histories and they reminisce about when they were supporting Leon Trotsky and how much they loved Leon Trotsky. And it was since the overthrow of the anti-communist Russians over the Jewish milieu that controlled the Soviet Union. And in that process, it was that caused the tremendous hatred against Russia. And also it affected a shifting of Jews from, in many places, communists, even though some of them still cling to a lot of the communist principles and ideologies, but they shifted from so-called communism, as far as the neocons were concerned, to conservatism. And I believe that's because they realized that Jews and the leftist point of view, the communist point of view, were always very strongly ensconced, and they've been able to control the Liberal Democratic Party, the leftist Democratic Party, greatly. And but they had not as much influence in the conservative movement. Like a good example, one of the leading Republicans was Mr. Taft, Senator Taft, who was really not an interventionist. Most of the Republicans before the war, including many Democrats, were very, very anti-war before the Second World War. All that changed later when the Jews concentrated on creating the so-called neoconservatism and controlling the funding and controlling the ideology and gaining control over publications like National Review and all of these other think tanks that created themselves as neoconservatives, but they what they really want. So I think the first thing we could talk about and we can understand is that the government of the United States of America is not what's in charge. It's not like Mearsheimer says, where there is, you know, there's real politics as governments or nations fight for their own interests. It's not. It's not a collection of people who are simply pro-war or pro-LGBT or pro-mass immigration for the West and pro-genocide in Gaza. It's not the fact that these people are collectively doing that because of their opinions. They're driven by this very dedication to Jewish interests, Jewish ethnocentrism, Jewish supremacy, Jewish hegemony. And even when Jeffrey Sachs talks about Jewish hegemony, or talks about hegemony, doesn't say Jewish, obviously, and that's the first example of the alternative media, he talks about the effort of neocons to have world hegemony. And he really identifies them by name and by their history as being Jews. And if you go look at their background, like Kagan and Newland and all these other Jews.
I just want clarification. Please. Does Jeffrey Sachs specifically say that they're Jews? He names them as individuals. Does he identify them as Jews?
No, he doesn't. Okay. But I think you can't help but understand that once you dive in. But that's way beyond the cognizance. That's way beyond the recognition of most people. They see Victoria Nuland as a neocon, right? But every single person he names in the article showing how that the war in Ukraine has not been a war for Ukraine. It's not been a war for America. It's been a war by these neocons for neocon hegemony, not just over America, but really over the world. So he doesn't truly identify them. And that's an incredible failing. I mean, Jewish ethnocentrism and this Jewish, it's not globalists that are the danger. It's Jewish globalists. And they use globalism as a policy by which they dominate and over America, which promotes this. And it's also sometimes corporate. It's sometimes government. It's often media. That's what really the real power is coming from. I'll just start with that and let you comment on that first point that I make. And I'm looking forward to hearing your points as well and having a good discussion back and forth.
Yeah. And I want a little bit of clarification. I drew up a little list of five things, which I want to get to, what I called goofy stuff. It's number two, the second bullet point. It's only a subset of the Jews. Third point. It's a superset that they're just part of a bigger class. And, you know, neocons goes into that category. My bullet point number four, if we get to it, everything is communism. And then bullet point number five, I wrote it number five there.
Everything is the threat's communism.
Yeah. And number five is just deflecting to, you know, massive deflection. I want to address the neocon thing. Okay. So you mentioned that. I just want to be clear.
To start that, because I wanted to comment on one thing you said right out the gate, which I understand what you said. It's a subset of Jews who are neocons, and that's all true. But at the same point, it's not really a subset.
I haven't
Jewish
started saying anything
thinking.
About neocons. I haven't started yet. These were just my five bullet points, five things I wanted to get to eventually in the show. And these are lists of things that other people say. It's not what I'm saying. So
I got you. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So regarding the neocons, you mentioned that the neocon movement actually was born from – you called them communists, specifically Trotskyites.
Trotskyites. Yeah.
Specifically Trotskyites. And we're talking about the 1950s, 1960s. We're talking about people like
communists, but they were Trotskyites even more so.
So they were Trotskyites. There was in the communist movement, there was a split between Stalinists and Trotskyites. If you were because the origin of the neocon movement is the 50s and the 60s. And it's people like Irving Kristol, who is William Kristol's father. William Kristol, one of the guys that one of the two people who did the project for A New American Century. And he's on TV a lot. He was the Weekly Standard editor. His father, Irving Kristol, had been a Trotskyite, and then he moved away. Norman Potteritz, who has a son, John Potteritz. So this early generation, these were people who had been Trotskyite. And probably when you get to even like people like Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz, probably when they were very young, had their feet in it too. The people we're dealing with today, like Victoria Nuland, she was born in 1961. So these younger people, people who are in their like that age or younger, they wouldn't have ever been in a Trotskyite movement probably because they were born.
Yeah, they're very young. Yeah,
they're young enough so that they're born.
All the people you're talking about, Potteritz. All the people you're talking about, Potteritz. So let's make something clear for people. Leo Strauss was absolutely a Trotskyite, and he was the founder at the University of Chicago. And all the other main, even people like Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz, were very, very Trotskyite folks, and they the ones that supported the Iraq War. So they were still around even then. But yes, I want to make the point so people don't think we're making something up here. These people were very, very Trotskyite. Go ahead.
Okay, very, very Trotskyite. So that's good. Now, you said what you actually said, and I know I'm like being very, very picky here. You called them dedicated communists, and I'm saying no, they weren't dedicated communists. They were dedicated Jewish supremacists. And in the era of the 1950s and the 1960s, if you were a dedicated Jewish supremacist operating in communist circles, you would be Trotskyite, right? But then if you see no future for it, you'll readily abandon communism because you're not dedicated to communism, you're dedicated to Jewish supremacy. Do you agree with me?
Absolutely. In fact, I really like that that clarification, because it again, everything is about definitions, and it's all about that. That's one of the problems we have here. And so I believe, as I think you believe, that even communism itself was a creation of Jews, even by Karl Marx. I truly believe that. And I believe that the whole communist ideology was really about, and that's really kind of backed up by the so-called Frankfurt School, which says that they wanted Karl Marx to rule the world. And they actually gave us Karl Marx's original family name, Karl Halevi, rather than Karl Marx, to make sure that people understood that. That's right out of the Jewish Museum, or the Museum of the Jewish People, which is a big, giant museum in Israel, worldwide, billions of dollars probably behind it. And that's also, by the way, another good example of that is a practical example, is Winston Churchill's article, Zionism versus Communism, A Struggle for the Soul of the Jewish People. And in there, he directly quotes, absolutely directly quotes, from and says that Leon Trotsky saw the control, the Jewish control of the world through Jewish communism specifically. And he said this was a very maleficent, terrible force in the world. And it was, in fact, he was saying this is a terrible force as compared to Judaism, which is a good force. And yet he doesn't mention the fact that Judaism and people who were Jewish Zionists, we're not all good people. In fact, the Jewish Zionists themselves, many, many of the people that financed and supported the communist movement in Russia and Leon Trotsky himself were, in fact, Jewish Zionists like Jacob Schiff, the biggest single contributor to the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. Go ahead, please, sir.
Okay. So just that founding generation, Leo Strauss, Irving Kristol, Norman Potteritz, I guess Donald Kagan, you throw him in there, Victoria Nuland's father-in-law, so they weren't dedicated to Trotskyism. They were dedicated to Jewish supremacy. And when Trotskyism no longer a good vehicle for Jewish supremacy, then they were willing to abandon it. So when at the end of the day, it really wasn't ideology that motivated them. And today, when you look at the neocons, people like Alexander Mercurius, and I depend on his show, and I depend on the guests of his show and the guests of Judge Napolitano's show for a lot of good information and for a certain amount of analysis. But, you know, they're always talking about the neocons as if they're just simply motivated by ideology, that they are just so that Victoria Nuland is just so dedicated to this ideology that she's willing to burn down the world for it. And it's not that they're dedicated to ideology. The founding generation wasn't dedicated to Trotskyism. This generation isn't even dedicated to neoconism or some whatever, however you want to define it. They are motivated by ethnic interests, and they're at least their perception of their ethnic interests. So that's what I wanted to say about neoconism.
Yeah, I think that's a very prescient and very important point, and that even communism itself, the real loyalty and the real dedication of these people, whether they're communists or whether they're even libertarians, even conservatives, their first and foremost allegiance is to the Jewish people and Jewish interests, whether they're, you know, whatever they call themselves. And that's not saying that every Jew is that way, but we're talking about the major Jews supported by these elite Jews, including the billionaire Jews that have so much influence in media, so much influence in political funding, and all the rest of these aspects, which we can get into later. Go ahead, please. We can keep going.
Let me draw up a list. I think you drew up a list, and we don't want to get too bogged down on number one in the list. We're already 20 minutes into the show. Do you have another item on the list of things that bother you about what's going on with the alternative media, or should I throw something out there?
I just had one, and but let's I got to get back up again. Okay, so I don't know which we should start on. Okay, so one of the aspects that really gets my craw is the idea that they continue to talk, like a good example is Mersheimer. I mean, even Jeffrey Sachs, they constantly talk about American hegemony. They say, we want American hegemony, and that it's America wants hegemony over the world. Well, I don't think it's the average American person that wants hegemony over the world. I don't think that's what's driving the American person. The American person wants to have a decent income. He wants to have a decent job. He wants to have a decent life. And he wants to have a healthy country. He certainly doesn't want to become a minority in his own country, which no people on earth want. Obviously, that's all part and parcel of human rights, is that people have a right to keep their heritage in their own nation, where they're a vast majority, like Palestine was the vast majority of Palestinians. But it's really one of these, again, these misnomers. It's almost an oxymoron to say that it's all about American power. No, it's American power in service of the ultimate power and why they control us and why they want to control us. It's not for America. It's absolutely for Jewish hegemony and Jewish supremacy. That's a pretty way. I think that's pretty much summing up that second point. What do you think about that?
Bothers me in particular about John Mearsheimer, because Jeffrey Sachs is an economist, but John Mearsheimer is a political scientist and, in particular, international relations specialist. And he's been prominent for a long time. In the 1980s, when I started graduate school, I had to read his stuff. And I remember one of my classmates, oh, she just loved John Mearsheimer. And he's a realist. You hear him. You hear people introducing him as a realist. There's this realist paradigm in the study of international relations, and they have these assumptions. And the assumptions are very simplistic when you get down to it. Maybe that's part of the reason they're trying to make it simple to understand. Just get cut down to the bare bones. But one of the assumptions is that states have interests. And states are the only really meaningful actors in international politics. And you don't really have to pay attention to domestic politics. If you're looking at international politics...
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge. And I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214, or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
States are the only really meaningful actors in international politics, and you don't really have to pay attention to domestic politics. If you're looking at international politics, states have interests. They decide on these interests rationally. They're rational actors. They have interests. You don't have to worry about domestic politics. And this is just wrong. And when Mearsheimer, I appreciate him and his vocal opposition to the Ukraine war, his vocal opposition what's going on with Israel in the Middle East. I appreciate this very much, and he gets a lot of exposure, and so he's getting a lot of information out, which I appreciate. But because he's got this view, and you could call it a worldview, I call it blinders. He was once asked why. The neocons are, and the, well, he was asked why the United States is pursuing policies that are going to destroy its power. And he was asked this by Glenn Deason, who is Alexander Mercurius's sidekick on some of their podcasts, mm-hmm. especially when they have guests. And Mearsheimer said, I can't answer that. He couldn't explain it. Well, the reason he can't explain it is because he's not looking at domestic politics. And domestically, what you have is the state, the American state, has come under the control of a small group, and we'll call them Jewish supremacists. They're motivated not by America's state interest, but by their own perceived ethnic interest. And in pursuing that ethnic interest, if their ethnic interests are moved forward at the expense of the state interest, that's fine. It's just like running up somebody else's credit card. And he's unable to perceive this because of these blinders. So that bothers me. We are I guess I started talking about Alejandro Mayorkas and Merrick Garland at their confirmation hearings. And at their confirmation hearings, they both Mayorkas himself is an immigrant. And then Garland's father or grandfather were immigrants.
Often described as a Spanish person, a Hispanic person.
A Cuban, yeah.
That's not what he celebrates, not what he claims, right?
No.
In terms of his own books, his own material.
They talked about how much they loved America, but why did they love America? They said explicitly they loved America because America had been good for their Jewish ancestors or, for the Jews. And so what happens when they perceive the American government as not being good for the Jews? Well, what happens is they undermine it. Look what happened to Donald Trump. Look what happened to Richard Nixon. Look what happened to John F. Kennedy. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, exactly. So this whole idea, again, when they talk about America, American interests, America needs this. This is for American power, is really a way to disguise the real deep state. What's really behind this? And when they talk about the deep state, it's quite amazing. So I thought I would jump to another point, if you're ready for another one, that we could discuss very thoroughly, and we can go anywhere you want to at this point. All right. So, and I think this is a point that we can go right back to Winston Churchill again, because this is kind of the origin of this kind of point. And you see this all the time in alternative media, even those that recognize the negative impact of Jews in Bolshevism, for instance, or in these wars, are in all these elements. And they're constantly trying to tell us, oh, these Jews who are the warmongers, the neocons and so forth, and these other Jews that support these wars and political power and the censorship over our media, these are bad Jews. But good Jews are, in fact, those who are traditional Jews, meaning they're Zionist Jews, yet they don't really understand. Or maybe some of them do understand this, and they know that is really a misnomer too. Because anybody that reads Judaism, anybody that reads not just the Torah, which is very, very ethnocentric to the massive degree, it's all about genealogy. It's all about the earth being inherited by Jews. At least that's some of the message that people are getting. Of course, it leaves out the teachings of Jesus Christ, and I'll discuss that in a minute as well, and Churchill's disambulation about some of these things, right? So Churchill, in his determination to see Bolshevism crushed in Russia, he studied the nature and the organization of the Bolshevik government of Moscow. He was familiar with the names and origins of all of its leaders. But again, he absolutely was very much deceived about Lenin. He said Lenin was almost the only member of the Central Committee, almost the only member who was not of Jewish origin. And yet, if you read Jewish publications, you'll find out, especially since this time, because this was hidden from a lot of people, he was almost the only member of the Central Committee of not of Jewish origin. That was not true. Neither Churchill nor his colleagues nor the Jews knew that Lenin's, paternal grandfather was a Jew, right? And the interesting thing is that, and also that Lenin identified himself, and we have the documents from the Russian archives, which I saw standing beside none other than the great dissident, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, which showed he identified himself to his family and to his closest Jewish friends, because they wrote about this as well, and they testified about this as well in statements.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the Rebel Madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
None other than the great dissident, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, which showed he identified himself to his family and to his closest Jewish friends, because they wrote about this as well, and they testified about this as well in statements, that he always identified himself as a Jew, and his family is a Jewish family. The wife was Jewish. The children were Jewish. They spoke Yiddish in their home, which is very, very rare for people who are not really in a Jewish milieu, obviously. Speaking Yiddish as your main language in the home was, you know, pretty rare. And he was giving speeches at the same time, pretending to be a Russian, telling how great Jews were. So it's like, see, Churchill studied this what they call the Bolshevik terror against political opponents, Democrats, constitutionalists, and he knew the significant part of individual Jews had played. But again, he tried to then switch the pitch and say that, well, it's these communist Jews were the bad Jews, but the Zionist Jews were good Jews. Yet Zionism itself and this idea of Jewish ethnocentrism, that the world was made for Jews, that's literally what it is, and the idea that they had the chosen of God over all other people, and that the other peoples of the world had to be suppressed or had to be controlled by Jews, he said, you know, he doesn't understand that that is the same kind of driving ideological force that is also, in effect, transferred, because Judaism was the main ideology of Jews for the last 3,000 years, except recent times where they've become more secular. But in a paragraph in his article in the Illustrated Sunday Herald, Churchill said that the there were good and bad Jews. And he tried to say that, well, the good Jews were the Zionist Jews and the religious Jews, and the bad Jews were the other. But if you look and see, just look at the religious leaders of Israel. Look at the chief Ashkenazi rabbi. Look at the chief Sephardic rabbi. And they are the most racist, supremacist people that you could possibly imagine. And this is really true not only in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, right? And then he says this. I'll give an example. He wrote that this the same astounding race, again, identifies them as a race, which is interesting. It doesn't go to current definitions. But he says the same astounding race may be at the present time. This is an exact quote. Be in the actual process of producing another system of morals and philosophy as malevolent as Christianity was benevolent. Well, first of all, Christianity, the Jews argue that Christ was a Jew. That may be a debatable issue. Whether or not Judaism as a group, the Jewish people as a group, obviously strongly rejected Christianity, hated Jesus Christ, and they had a long litany of hatred, and they hated the Romans who adopted Christianity. And even the Rabbi Boteach talks about in the Jerusalem Post, which is one of the prestigious newspapers in Israel, that the New Testament's very, very anti-Semitic, and what the Jews would call anti-Semitic. He said, this is what Churchill says. He says, quote, as if the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the Antichrist were destined to originate among the same people. Well, it didn't originate. The doctrine of Jesus Christ is certainly related to Christ himself, but it's not really it wasn't something the Jewish people got behind as a whole and as accepted. So it was very, very different. Right? Imagine as malevolent as, you know, so what he's saying is that what he's really saying is contradicting himself. And this goes right down to the present, right? He says, let me give you a couple more quotes and then we'll go on. Churchill told his readers about opposition to what he called these Jewish efforts are the schemes of the international Jews, which are certainly the dominant Jews of today. The adherents of the sinister Confederacy are most remembered among the unhappy populations of countries where Jews are persecuted on account of their race. Most of all, and again, the persecutions were not just about their race either. They were because the Jews followed a racial supremacist ideology, which they called a religion. And they never had the blessings of Christ, which said the golden rule must apply to all mankind. They considered all humanity an enemy. He said most of them have forsaken the faith of their forefathers and divorced from their minds all spiritual hopes of the next world. That doesn't mean the Jews who had not divorced from their minds from their background, from their forefathers, and divorced from their minds of the spirit. It doesn't mean the Jews that didn't divorce themselves. In fact, the most radical Jews of all in Israel are, in fact, the religious fanatics that exist. He said, there's no part, you know. So again, this is the kind of thing that we hear constantly about, and there's just it's stated again and again and again among people, and it's very deceptive, and it's very damaging, and it doesn't help people understand the sources of Jewish supremacy and the sources of this Jewish elite. Now, by the way, just to give one more last quote in the exact words of Winston Churchill, he says, quote, all right, he talks about Leon Trotsky, again, the patron saint of the so-called Jewish neocons, right? So he says, the cruel penetration, and this is exact words from, you know, Winston Churchill in the major publication in Great Britain, the major newspaper, full-page article, of Trotsky's mind leaves him no doubt that his schemes of worldwide communistic state under Jewish domination are directly thwarted and hindered by the new ideal, talking about Zionism, which is not true. The truth is that Jews globally, religious or not, there were some religious Jews that opposed to it for certain reasons, but there's no question that the Jewish establishment, and even shown by the Jewish Encyclopedia, absolutely, communism was a global movement, which even the New York Times kind of categorizes in its own articles about it, like by Stevens and others. Anyway, what's your thoughts on this?
You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. There are good ways to do it, and then there are completely ineffectual ways of doing it. I personally don't talk a whole lot about the religion because it's just not my strength. But the points you're making are very valid. And Judaism as a religion, I'm in the middle of listening to this lecture series on Judaism, and I just got done listening to a lecture series on the New Testament. And, you know, the thing is, Judaism as a religion is it's presented to the American public. We're talking about America now. So it's presented to the American public as, oh, just another way of worshiping God. It's the same God. It's just another way to God rather than through Jesus. And of course, that's not what it's all about. The professor I was listening to this morning, or maybe it was yesterday, he was saying, when you look at, maybe it's the Talmud, but the discussions, you know, these ancient writings from 2,000 years ago, and they're talking. So the Jewish scholars are arguing some point, and then the voice of God is heard saying, "This is what it is," and this is what the professor himself was saying. And then the Jewish scholars tell God to butt out of it. I mean, this was in his own words. I listened to this in the car.
It's saying that the reverence to God, and it's a religion of God. It really, if the God's got to butt out of the argument, and the fact that Jewish publications like My Jewish Learning, these are major publications, one of the biggest websites in the entire Western Hemisphere of Jews, goes all over the world, and it says that Judaism has evolved as a religion to where God, the anthropomorphic God, the symbol of God, is less important, and the Jewish people, that has become more a religion of Jews as like God, as like the supreme issue, the supreme purpose they have, that's promoting the Jewish race, like Jews as God.
Yeah.
And that's really fascinating to think of it that way. And the idea that God's got to butt out of this and all that, that shows us a subservience, right? Not to God, but it's a subservience to Jewish issues, right?
Mm-hmm. If you're to take this this professor seriously, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, then this isn't something that's recent. This goes back thousands of years, back in Babylon, because this is the period he's talking about is the Babylonian exile. So Kevin MacDonald says that the God of the Jewish Bible is the Jewish genome. You know, that's one way of putting it. Are they really worshiping God, or are they worshiping themselves? But you know, regardless of that. What you can very definitely say is that it is a religion of dual morality. There's one set of morality towards the in-group and a completely different one towards the out-group, a morality that you could call immorality. And you see that at work right now in Gaza. You know, you've got the in the midst of this genocide, you still have the Israeli military and Israeli officials saying that the Israeli army, it's the most moral army in the world. And you've got Ben-Gavir saying it would be completely moral for us to simply expel or no, to starve all the Palestinians to death. That would be moral, but it would be difficult to do because of overseas sentiment, the sentiment of people overseas. That's a reflection of that's really, I don't think that is a perversion of Judaism. I think that's really the essence of Judaism. But I'm not a religious scholar, so, you know, maybe I'll leave it to others to have the final word.
Yeah, and that's something we've got to look at. I mean, just look at Netanyahu. And we know that he's advocated. And the leaders of Israel said, no food in Gaza, no water in Gaza, no medicine in Gaza. You know, destroy the hospitals, no medicine in Gaza. In fact, they blew up the water treatment plants, and the water they get in Gaza is very difficult water to drink. And if without these treatment facilities, they're going to be massive disease. You had one of the heads of their security say that, a former head of their national security chief, he said that we want there to be a humanitarian crisis in Gaza. That's what we're working for. And Netanyahu even evoked the whole idea of the the Amalek, as the Palestinians are being the, you know, basically the modern Amaleks. And every Jew knows that the message of Amalek is that every, you know, that of the treatment of Amalek by the Jews was that every Amalek, every person of that race was to be destroyed. Man, woman, old people, young, and not just children, in fact, but even they went to the point of even talking about murdering the sucklings and all the animals too. And I'm an animal lover like you are. And it's hard to even make out this, but here's the head of Israel publicly evoking genocide. And of course they're committing genocide. And not only are they openly committing genocide, we talk about supremacy quite a bit, Jewish supremacy and Jewish power. But the interesting thing is that genealogically, we know now the New York Times has articles about people like Osterer and other top geneticists. And these Jews constantly are saying that Jews are the most genetically closely related people of the whole world. They live all over the world in dozens and dozens and dozens of countries. But every Jew, whether they're living in Mongolia or whether they're living in New York or whether they're living in Idaho or whether they're living wherever in Argentina, they're like fifth cousins to one another. They're the most closely related genetic people on Earth. So not only do they have genetic or racial standards which they follow, but they're also, they've also created a race that's extremely similar in terms of attitudes. And it's probably not only in physical aspects, like physiology or different these kind of things, but also psychological, because we know that psychological traits also have inherited factors. What's your thoughts on this particular observation?
Psychological factors do have a genetic component. That's very well established. And
we also have to remember now that the Israeli the people just recently had a poll, and they said only 2%. Or the population of Israel thought Israel was doing enough against the Palestinians in Gaza. I mean, this is, yeah. And only so this is not something that's an outlier.
Only 2% thought they were doing too much. Everyone else thought it was appropriate or not enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well,
you want to go to another point, or do you want to stay on this for a minute?
No, I would like to go to other points. We've only got about 6 minutes left in this show, 5 or 6 minutes.
Okay. You want to bring up something, or I've got another point.
Well, I'll tell you what, because we
can bring up something first.
Because we don't have much time, let me just indulge me in something that maybe it's not the most important thing, but but you hear it. So there are people who there's someone on RBN. I'm not going to name names. I listen to his show all the time. It's a very good roundup of the news. And I get a lot of good information from it. But this same gentleman is of various what I would consider goofy opinions, which usually are humor. It just kind of make me laugh. He's of the opinion that that Joe Biden died in 2017 and was replaced by one actor, but that actor died in Las Vegas over the summer, and now has been replaced by Jim Carrey wearing a silicon mask. And, you know, this type of stuff, it's goofy. It's not serious, but there's lots of people. So, you know, I can kind of chuckle at that.
It makes us look stupid, though, doesn't it? Because if he shares some other ideas with us that we would agree upon, it makes the whole thing suspect. It's like drinking one ounce of a bottle of milk that's sour, and you're going to think the rest of the bottle is going to sour too, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, most of the stuff he would talk about, we probably would agree with, or at least let me put it a different way: the stuff that we talk about, he would agree with us, and that's good. So you know, there's this goofiness, people, and it's certainly not limited to this one person. You know, the QAnon stuff. There was just so much stuff that there's, you know, people are being switched in and out, body doubles. They're body doubles. Putin's, I mean.
And accused of being a body double. I'd like, that's news to me.
Yeah, to have a body double. For instance, in the old days when at Red Square, Stalin was reviewing troops from a grandstand at a distance. To have a body double when everybody's at a distance, And, you know, for security reasons. Yeah, that's reasonable. That type of thing could exist. But the idea that you would have a body double go in and make speeches or do debates, it's beyond absurd.
It's fundamentally ludicrous.
Yeah. And
now, eventually AI can be such that they can make people look like it's the same person with a small adjustment, look like they're really saying their voice is exactly the same making a statement or by a speech they're making, which is a scary phenomenon. But they have the power to do this with impunity in the future.
Well, AI can really already do that, but it can't do it in, in front of people in an audience. Right.
Yeah.
Like in front of a giant forum. So Vladimir Putin does these giant.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
AI can really already do that, but it can't do it in front of
about
people in an audience, right?
Yeah.
In front of a giant forum. So Vladimir Putin does these giant forums, and he'll answer questions from hundreds of reporters, and these are marathon sessions, and the idea that anybody besides Vladimir Putin could do such a thing is ridiculous. Donald Trump, he gives his I've been to several Donald Trump rallies, and he's there. And I sometimes I'm towards the back, but sometimes I'm right up there, you know, 20 or 30 feet from Donald Trump. And there are other just random people who are very close to him. And the idea that you could substitute in some other man that looks just like Donald Trump and then can ramble about the same stuff for 2 hours, you know,
without him making a big mistake too and saying something that they don't want to put out.
So ridiculous and so silly. And the final thing is, you know, why of all the stuff that's going on, why would you want to focus on this? Oh, you know, so there's just weird stuff. Also, like the stuff about Michelle Obama or Brigitte Macron being men, being transsexuals. it's funny, but it's ridiculous. And you've got Candace Owens, who is trying to do some serious stuff.
She's doing some good work. She's doing great work.
She does. But then she stakes her entire reputation on Brigitte Macron being a man.
She might be right, but is it worth it to do that? Because a lot of people are going to think that she's crazy.
Even if she were right, is that what you want to go for?
Is that what we're going to stake our whole career on our message, the general message on something like that, which we may be wrong about, right? But it's a very small point in terms of the bigger questions before us. And she's been very much addressing the Jewish question, which is wonderful and courageous.
She was, and that's. But then she started getting goofy about that, and this goes into what we're talking about earlier. It's not all Jews, actually. It's fake Jews. It's these Sabbatean Frankists. So she's kind of backpedaled from talking about actual Jewish power towards these weird goofy ideas. Anyway, we've only got about a minute left, so you should probably.
I tell you what we're going to do. I want to go into, let's tape a show. Right following this one for airing tomorrow, and we're going to continue on in the vein of what we're talking about here. And I want to talk about how that some of the people who understand the Jewish deep state and what these Jewish neocons are doing and the Jewish controllers of our society are doing, this Jewish elite, that sometimes they get confused and they actually think that the things that they're advocating for us, which they don't advocate for Israel, like the mass immigration, are something that's good things. But all the things they do with the wars and the degeneracy and destructiveness and destruction of the family, all that's great, right? But how somehow the other policies they're working for America and the world are good. We'll do that, and we'll air that tomorrow in a second part of this discussion. How's that sound?
It's fine with me.
Okay, I hope you like that, and I will be broadcasting that second episode that I recorded with Dr. Duke in the coming days. In the meantime, send Dr. Duke some money. He's got some unexpected expenses. He deserves it. And you can send a check or a money order or well-concealed cash in an envelope to Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana, zip code 70470. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.